working long hours. Take a massage break, courtesy of your boss by Benedict Carey. Through the tropics of mid-August, Michael Macari, a men's clothing executive, was at it 10 to 12 hours a day, fretting over the details of an imminent holiday shipment to stores, the fittings for the spring 2005 lines, and the designs for next fall three seasons, three sets of deadlines. But right now, at lunch hour on a Wednesday, the deadlines were dissolving beneath a gentle tide of deep breathing. Dressed in a t-shirt and shorts, Mr. Macari joined 14 colleagues, who were arrayed across the floor of a large conference room, holding the downward-facing dog position, an upside-down V, with their rear ends in the air, arms and legs straight, as if they were playing a game of Twister. "Think of something you can let go of," said the yoga instructor, Margie Young. "Something, or some way, you could be doing less." The company, Armani Exchange, offers this yoga and meditation class free to help employees relax, reduce stress and recharge during the middle of the week. Similar classes are now familiar in workplaces across the country, from old line firms like AT&T to new economy outfits like Yahoo. About 20% of employers have some kind of dedicated stress reduction program in place, surveys find, and corporate spending has helped fuel what is an $11.7 billion a year and growing stress management industry, according to estimates by Market Data Enterprises, a market analyst in Tampa, Florida. But as the menu of techniques expands to include not only chair and table massages but practices like Tai Chi, Feng Shui Wind, and water and energy dances, the trend has prompted some experts to ask how effective the popular programs are and whose interests they serve. They wonder if the effects are lasting or just provide a brief break in an ever longer day. And wouldn't some employees really prefer a raise to a massage? Researchers are finding, among other things, that the benefits of stress reduction programs are generally short-lasting and may be as useful to a demanding employer as they are to stressed-out workers. All agree that, in part, the courses have sprung up in reaction to the enormous shift in the nature of work itself, the kaleidoscopic flow of electronic information, the way work obligations have pushed like a climbing vine into almost every corner of private life. The sheer diversity of hours people are working is just startling, said Dr. Harriet Presser, a University of Maryland sociologist, whose book Working, in a 24/7 Economy Russell Sage Foundation, 2003 explores the social and physical effects of commercial activity that depends on people working at all hours of the day and night. For some people, like dual wage earners with kids, she added, the sleep deprivation adds to the stress, and it's like they are never, ever away from work. But researchers say companies' interest in stress gurus and breathing lessons has as much to do with pushing workers as it does with real, sustained stress reduction. The programs took off in the expanding economy of the late 1990s, experts say, when the labor market was tight and workers' compensation suits claiming damage from stress were on the rise. These stress programs were a part of the concierge services that companies were using at that time so that employees didn't notice how many hours they were working, said Dr. Peter Capelli, a professor of management and director of the Center for Human Resources at Wharton School of Business in Philadelphia, and they held over since then. It does not take an MBA to understand why. After his hour of yoga and meditation, Mr. Macari said, it's not that different from going to therapy, the way I see it. It takes 1 hour of your time, and your mind is clear, and you approach the rest of the day in a completely different way. Meditation usually makes people feel, well, meditative. The downward-facing dog certainly beats jumping like a circus dog for a demanding boss. For those who like it, acupuncture can be a godsend. And even lobsters relax when given a massage their ice dogs go limp. Dr. Lawrence Murphy, a psychologist at the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, who has done extensive reviews of the research, says studies of workplace stress reduction typically pick up the immediate effect of the technique in question. Massages relieve stress when stress is determined by measuring muscle tightness. Meditation appears psychologically soothing when people are answering questionnaires about how calm they feel after the classes. In a 2001 analysis of 48 studies of occupational stress reduction programs, Dutch researchers came to the same conclusion. Courses teaching meditation, acceptance, and letting go provide mild relief, at least in terms of what participants report after having taken the classes. But the effects are short-lived, said Dr. Murphy, unless people make the yoga or meditation a part of a regular, or even daily, routine, and ideally combine it with some other activity, like jogging or massage. For anyone with a spare hour or two in the day, or who is living comfortably off interest income, this regimen might make sense. For those whose daily lives demand a mental jujitsu, with competing appointments and deadlines, however, a Tai Chi class becomes just that, another appointment, another deadline. I love the yoga class, but I just can't get to it anymore. I'm running all day, said Wendy Rothman, a public relations officer at Dharmani Exchange. Time is what most stressed people crave, of course, and this is where mind-body relaxation techniques can backfire. While a lunchtime course may add quiet space to a workday, it can also prime people to put in longer hours. John Shi, a business consultant based near San Francisco, had acupuncture for 6 months while working long hours in Los Angeles. Finally, my acupuncturist said, "Hey, all I'm doing is tuning you up so you can keep running longer. I think, if your tendency is to be a workaholic, it just enables you to do that. If stress is a warning system that you're about to burn out, all you're doing is overriding it so you can't stay in the game." Some providers of stress reduction services acknowledge this effect, said Holden Alma, the chief executive of MediTouch, a massage therapy practice in Culver City, California, whose clients have included Earthlink, ETOYS, and other technology companies. "We got them all addicted to massage in the 90s. It was wonderful," he said. "But we were very clear that we were not going to fix the stress problem, we were only going to patch it. The one workplace stress reduction technique that seems to outperform all others in preventing the buildup of stress rather than reducing symptoms temporarily is a form of counseling called cognitive therapy. In these classes, people learn to challenge the sort of assumptions about their work that every assignment must be perfect, for instance, or that they must impress everyone, that unnecessarily amplify the pressure they are already getting from people around them." In 18 studies, including more than 850 people working in a wide variety of jobs, from hospital cleaners to telecom workers, this kind of counseling has significantly reduced work complaints, sometimes in as few as 6 sessions of training. But there is a catch. The counseling has been tested almost exclusively among the sorts of workers who have some control over their own schedules, like bankers, engineers, and other professionals. When it comes to job stress, control over one's work may be the most important factor, said Dr. Peter L. Schnall of the Center for Occupational and Environmental Health at the University of California at Irvine. Dr. Schnall and others have shown that the workers most likely to develop high blood pressure are those who work under deadlines with little control over what the workday will bring. Like bus drivers on heavily traveled routes or nurses in frantic hospital wards. In one study of 195 New York men followed for 3 years, Dr. Schnall found that people in these high-strain jobs had significantly increased blood pressure during work and at home compared with men in less stressful jobs. "When people have some say over how and when their job is done," he said, "when they are able to learn new things on the job, when they are able to improve their skills and see them improving. These are the things that are most important in managing strain. These are also the very properties that most people associate with a satisfying job." By contrast, the 50-some studies of on-site stress reduction programs show little effect on job satisfaction, Dr. Murphy said. Turnover, employee absenteeism, commitment to the organization, pride at work. "There's no good evidence that any of those things are affected by mind-body techniques," he said. "It's not rocket science. If you're still overworked, still have a supervisor who doesn't support you, and is making all kinds of demands, you're going to be unhappy. Perhaps the most stressful of all jobs is the one that might soon be gone. Companies hoping to ease employees through layoffs or restructuring with meditation, Tai Chi, or other mind-body techniques are serving weekly to people in need of scotch, say organizational psychologists who study plant closings and downsizing. Rare is the employee who is going to spend the middle of the day chanting like a monk when fighting to keep his or her job. In these circumstances, researchers find that what best keeps stress levels in check is telling employees as clearly and quickly as possible who is being laid off and why, and offering meaningful benefits, like help in finding another job, generous severance payments and psychotherapy, if needed. Everything else is window dressing, said Dr. James Campbell Quick, a stress researcher at the University of Texas at Arlington, who helped advise the military in closing Kelly Air Force Base in San Antonio, which employed 13,000 people. The skeptic's view of stress management, said Dr. Samuel Culbert, a professor of human resources and organization at the University of California at Los Angeles, is that the programs are a cheap diversion from the real problems, which companies and managers themselves are creating. Human resources departments hypothetically have a fabulous role to play in bridging the gap between employees who want to do well at work and managers who want them to do well, Dr. Culbert said. But once you hear about stress programs for employees, you have to start wondering whose interest is being represented. Certainly, many of those who teach stress management classes know the story from both sides. Often self-employed, and formerly in stressful jobs themselves, they are entirely at the whim of their clients, and their services are among the first to be cut when management changes or times are tough. Once the economy started dying down after 2000, said Mr. Zalma, we were the first to go. We had to transform the business entirely to treat injuries and pain. In this economy, stress managers need stress management too.